Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Emily. Today, I'll continue to read from the July 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. Our first article is from the Wellness section titled, 5 Myths About Hangovers. If last night's ale is still ailing you, you'll do anything to quench the throb. Here's the truth about the morning after, so you can recover fast, by Kate Rockwood. Myth number 1. Beer before liquor, never been sicker. Mythbuster. No matter how catchy the rhyme, it's the quantity you drink and how fast you drink it that matters, not the order of consumption, says Carrie Peterson, MD, an internist with a private practice in New York City. Any standard drink, whether it's 12 ounces of beer or a 5-ounce glass of wine or 1.5 ounces of liquor, contains about the same amount of alcohol. It is true, though, that lighter-colored alcoholic beverages may lead to fewer hangovers, as they contain fewer congeners, compounds that research shows contribute to hangovers. But as anybody who has had too many gin and tonics can attest, drinking too many alcoholic beverages of any color will still leave you feeling hungover, whether you start with spirits and then move to wine or beer or do the reverse. Myth number 2. The hair of the dog that bit you will set you right. Mythbuster. The morning after Bloody Mary is a temporary solution that will probably make things worse later on, says John Brick, PhD, an alcohol researcher and the executive director of Intoxication International. That's because hangover symptoms kick in as your blood alcohol levels drop, and you feel your worst when none is left in your system, says Dr. Peterson. This means that after you metabolize the Bloody Mary, the hangover will come roaring back. Dehydration can contribute to a hangover, and next-day drinking could cause greater loss of water and electrolytes, Brick says. To recover, drink water or sports drinks and eat something bland and easily digestible, like toast with jam. Also, some gentle exercise will flood cells with oxygen and release mood-boosting endorphins, Dr. Peterson adds. Myth number 3. Sulfites cause red wine hangovers. Mythbuster. Sensitivity to sulfites is relatively rare. These preservatives in wine, beer, shrimp, potatoes, and dried fruit have long been blamed for the dreaded red wine headache, but only between 1 in 40 and 1 in 100 people have bad reactions to them, and that finding applies to just people with asthma. A new UC Davis study suggests a different culprit in wine, a naturally occurring polyphenol called quercetin. When ingested in alcohol, quercetin can cause a buildup of the toxin, acetaldehyde, which interferes with how the body metabolizes alcohol. The buildup of acetaldehyde or other chemicals may be a factor in hangovers, Brick says. High levels of acetaldehyde cause familiar hangover symptoms like headache, flushing, and nausea. Hangovers are complex, with causes from dehydration to cognitors to alcohol-disrupted sleep, Brick says, and for most drinkers, sulfites are probably not to blame. Myth number 4. Pop a pain reliever before bed to feel better the next day. Mythbuster. Taking a pain reliever before you have a hangover won't help much. The effect of ibuprofen, for example, peaks after 1 or 2 hours, the FDA reports. And if you go to bed drunk, there will be no pain to alleviate, says Brick, who also points out that the effect will have largely worn off by the time you awaken. Another reason to wait is that an over-the-counter pain reliever might irritate an already upset stomach. Still, these drugs are useful once you have a hangover. They can help alleviate headaches and achiness. One you should steer clear of, though, is acetaminophen, Tylenol. Acetaminophen places an extra burden on the liver, and high doses, in combination with alcohol, may increase the risk of liver damage, Brick says. Myth number 5. If you eat greasy food, it can soak up the alcohol and help you dodge a hangover. Mythbuster. A post-party or AM diner stop might seem like a good idea, but greasy, fatty food can make a queasy stomach or heartburn even worse, Brick says. Food does slow down the absorption of alcohol, but only if you start eating before you begin drinking. Drinking the same amount, you'll become less intoxicated if you drink on a full stomach as opposed to little or no food in your stomach, he says. Your best bet is to eat something hearty that contains fat, which takes longer to digest and causes alcohol to be delivered to your bloodstream more slowly, giving it less of a chance to reach high levels, Dr. Peterson says. Our next article from the wellness section is titled Beauty, the Silver Palette. Compliment gray hair with these tips from a makeup pro by Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown is a makeup artist and the founder of Jones Rhodes Beauty and Bobby Brown Cosmetics. Even though I've dyed my hair for years, I think gray looks gorgeous on others. Some of my favorite Jones Rhodes models are completely gray, and I love the way they embrace it. With any hair color change, you'll want to adjust your makeup. Whether you're letting dark hair grow out to its natural silver hue, or finding a few lighter strands for the first time, tweaking your products will help you avoid a washed-out complexion, which can happen with grays. The best way to do this is to emphasize and define your features by incorporating color. But first, replenish moisture that is lost with age by applying moisturizer. This will plump skin so makeup won't settle into fine lines. And always protect with SPF. It's never too late to add sunscreen to your regimen. As for makeup, applying the right products to flatter any shade of gray is easier than you might think. Here's what to do. Define brows. Add definition by filling in eyebrows with the right shade to avoid looking pale. Experiment to find your ideal hue. I suggest those who are totally gray to use Jones Rhodes The Brow Pencil, $22 at jonesrhodesbeauty.com, in ash. If you're more salt and pepper, going one shade lighter than your natural brow color should do the trick. Line lips. As we get older, we lose pigment in our lips. Add it back, along with definition, by lining your pout. Try a lip pencil that is either the color of your lips or a shade you want them to be. Instead of going lighter, always go brighter. I prefer Jones Rhodes The Lip Pencil, $22 at jonesrhodesbeauty.com, in Tawny Nude, which helps define lips while still looking natural. The formula is creamy, so you can fill in the whole area while you're at it. Add color. Applying blush to the apples of your cheeks, lining your eyes, try a navy pencil if you have blue eyes, nothing is prettier with gray hair. And wearing a bright-hued nail polish are all easy ways to incorporate more color into your appearance. You can do this with a wardrobe too. Instead of a black sweater, go for one in a different color. This doesn't mean you have to wear a fuchsia top, though it might be a fun try. You can play with shades of charcoal or navy. Dabble in sparkle. Liven things up with a bit of glimmer. My general rule is to choose two places on your face, which will add the right amount of shimmer to complete any look without going overboard. An easy way to do this is to try a glittery eyeshadow and a sparkly lip gloss. I use Jones Rhodes Cool Gloss, $22 on jonesrhodesbeauty.com. over the lip pencil or another lip color to add some shine. It's lightweight and hydrating thanks to shea butter, making it the perfect finishing touch. Moving on to our next article titled, Is This Normal? We all experience body oddities that provoke temporary panic while we wonder if we're okay or about to bite the dust. Here, doctors weigh in on which truly weird moments are probably safe to ignore and when you should get checked out, by Kate Rockwood. The human body is truly a wonder, with complex systems and exquisite sensitivities, but even the most well-crafted machines have glitches now and then. You've probably experienced at least one of these, that's weird, moments, such as when your eye twitches a little more than usual, or you sneeze when you're getting frisky. And anything slightly out of the ordinary when it comes to our body and our health can launch us into a frantic vortex of searching the internet and jumping to conclusions. To save you from self-diagnosis spiral and hours spent ruminating, we ask medical professionals to help explain what's behind some strange yet common physical phenomena and when they warrant a trip to see the doctor. What's happening? I'm losing a lot of hair in the shower. Like, a lot of hair. What could cause it? Have you been dealing with some tough times lately? If so, that may be the culprit. Stress is a common cause of hair loss, says Alina Eshavora, a physician assistant at Russick Dermatology Clinic in New York City. Telogen effluvium is a specific type of hair loss caused by stress, she explains. The stressor usually precedes hair loss by 3 to 6 months, and it can affect your eyebrows and eyelashes too. Stress is a big factor, but you could also be losing hair due to malnutrition, weight changes, hormonal imbalances, menopause, thyroid issues, or iron deficiency, anemia, she adds. What to do? Whether you could build your own pet out of all the lost hair or you've just been shedding more than usual, it's a good idea to tell your doctor and have blood work done. Be sure to paint the picture of the life issue in the past few months, like if you've been dealing with significant stress. What's happening? My underarms have gotten darker and darker. What could cause it? Some people naturally have more pigment, melanin, in their skin, and people with certain racial or ethnic backgrounds are more prone to dark pigmentation and skin folds, such as under the arms or breasts or around the groin, as Shavora says. Darkening underarms could also be a reaction to deodorant, detergent, or fabric that is irritating the skin, causing post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, she says. What to do? Any noticeable changes in skin color, whether on your underarms or elsewhere, is worth investigating, Ashavora says. A dermatologist can help suggest alternative products if it turns out the change is exposure-induced, and a doctor can run tests to see whether it may indicate something such as insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, or hormonal issue. What's happening? My eyelid keeps twitching. What could cause it? How often is it spasming? An occasional eye twitch is common, especially when you're tired, stressed, or over-caffeinated. This sporadic twitching is due to a benign condition known as ocular myokymia. More frequent bouts of involuntary eye movement may fall into a category called blepharospasm, BSP, which can be triggered by anxiety, air pollution, allergens, bright lights, dry eye, and fatigue, says Peter Lee, MD, of Wave Plastic Surgery in Los Angeles, an expert in the muscles and nerves around the eye. What to do? An occasional jumpy eyelid is totally normal, so try to just chill and let it go. But if you're dealing with uncontrolled movements in one or both eyes that last more than a couple of weeks or get worse over time, call your doctor, Dr. Lee says. Rarely, this may be a sign of a brain or nervous system disorder such as Bell's palsy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, or Tourette's syndrome. What's happening? My finger gets stuck, catches, or pops when I try to bend it. What could cause it? This highly common issue is known as trigger finger and most often occurs in people ages 40 to 60, explains Karen Desai, MD, of the Orlando Health Jewett Orthopedic Institute, and it's one of the most frequent conditions hand surgeons treat. It happens when the tendon that controls the digit swells and prevents it from sliding smoothly back into its protective sheath. What to do? Totally normal? Yes. Totally ignorable? Not always. Trigger finger may not get better on its own, so it's best to have it checked out. Sometimes it could be treated with a splint, stretching, or steroid shots. If it happens very often, you may need minor surgery, but you can use your hand the same day, Dr. Desai says. What's happening? I sneeze when I'm aroused or after orgasm. What could cause it? This may be embarrassing, but it's not as unusual as you might think, and it even has a clever nickname, honeymoon rhinitis. There's not much dedicated research on this underreported affliction, though one older study review did find several anecdotal accounts in medical literature. We don't know why this phenomenon occurs, but there are theories, says Christine Graves, MD, an OBGYN at Orlando Health Winnie Palmer Hospital. For instance, it could be related to what happens when one's genitals become enlarged and the nasal minuscule does the same. The study review attributed to honeymoon rhinitis to the parasympathetic nervous system. What to do? If sex-related sneezing bothers you, it can't hurt to mention it to your doctor to exclude other causes, though keep in mind that they may not have much useful advice. The good news is that this oddity isn't a symptom of any disease, so that should at least ease your mind. What's happening? I have flu-like symptoms right before my period. What could cause it? Fatigue, headaches, body aches, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, even a fever, all those are common symptoms of both the flu and premenopausal syndrome, or PMS. Most people associate PMS with emotional changes, sore breasts, and bloating, but rapid hormonal shifts can also bring about these illness-mimicking symptoms. It all comes down to prostaglandins, or hormone-like lipids that make the uterus contract during menstruation. When the level of prostaglandins are high, that can cause a low-grade fever and other symptoms resembling the flu. It's not a real virus. It just means that you may definitely feel like you have one, says Dr. Graves. What to do? It's not clear how many people suffer from the so-called period flu, but PMS in general is quite common, affecting more than 90% of those who menstruate. Luckily, these fake flu symptoms usually get better or disappear within a day or two, and for some can be managed with an over-the-counter pain reliever such as acetaminophen. It may also be helpful to talk to your doctor about how you're feeling and ask about treatment options or lifestyle changes that may improve your symptoms, such as eating an anti-inflammatory diet, taking hormonal birth control pills, and upping your calcium intake. What's happening? Whenever I exercise outside, I start coughing. What could cause it? Even if you've never been diagnosed with asthma, you may still fall victim to what's known as exercise-induced bronchial constriction, which manifests in many of the same ways as asthma: coughing, shortness of breath, wheezing, chest tightness, fatigue, and difficulty completing an outdoor workout. It happens when you breathe in a large amount of air that's cooler and drier than the air in your lungs, and in response, your airways constrict. This condition affects up to 90% of people with asthma, but a significant percent, up to 20%, of those without asthma too. Sometimes coughing and difficulty breathing occur due to being out of shape, but after a couple of weeks of regular exercise, it should stop if that's the case, says Hetu Parekh, MD, an allergist and immunologist at Austin Regional Clinic in Texas. It is more likely to happen to people who already have asthma or people who have outdoor allergies, Dr. Parekh adds, hence the problem with being outside. What to do? If your outdoor exercise coughing fits don't clear up, see your doctor. They may want to perform a spirometry or test of your lung function. They can also prescribe an oral inhaler to use as needed or long-term inhaler, depending on your diagnosis. What's happening? My hands go numb when I sleep. What could cause it? If it's happening sporadically, there's a good chance that you might just be sleeping on your hands and cutting off their circulation. Other potential culprits include carpal tunnel syndrome, which affects the nerves in your wrist, or its cousin, cubital tunnel syndrome, which affects the ulnar nerve in your elbow, Dr. Desai says. Cervical spinal disease, in which the nerve roots are compressed at the spine, is also a possibility. This is basically arthritis in the neck that squeezes the nerves that are coming out of your spine, he says. What to do? Occasional numbness is probably no big deal, so try to rest easy. However, when it becomes frequent, that's when it's worrisome, Dr. Desai says. The only way to know for sure what's going on is to speak to your doctor, who can perform a physical exam and potentially conduct a series of tests, including a nerve conduction study, to determine the source of the issue and match you with treatment to help you feel better. The ick factor. The truth behind these body conditions that may seem too gross to admit. My nipples are leaking and I'm not nursing. Galactorrhea may sound like a cool sci-fi show, but it's actually the term for leaking of the nipples that's not due to pregnancy or breastfeeding. The condition is usually related to an overproduction of prolactin, the hormone that causes breasts to produce milk. Because prolactin is created by the brain's pituitary gland, leaky nipples may indicate a tumor in the area, usually a benign one, but such leaks can also be caused by medication such as birth control and antidepressants, by certain herbal supplements, or by overstimulation of the nipples or the breasts. Typically, galactorrhea goes away without treatment, but if leaking persists for more than a few days, or if discharge from your nipples is bloody or dark yellow, tell your doctor. There's a whitish coating on my tongue. Those little white bumps on your tongue are called papillae, and when they swell up, it can make your tongue appear white. There are several potential causes of the swelling, including dehydration, but the likeliest culprit is inadequate oral hygiene, which leads to debris, bacteria, and dead cells to congregate in the papillae. A great solution is to use a tongue scraper regularly, but if your tongue starts to hurt or whiteness doesn't abate with more frequent cleanings, see a doctor. My belly button smells bad. Funkiness in a navel can be caused simply by failure to wash that region, and if this is the case, it could be banished with soap in a couple of spare minutes. It may also be a sign of an infection. Since this crevice is full of tiny folds that trap sweat, And this area is also the terrific breeding ground for yeast. The most common type of yeast found here is Candida, which causes thrush and yeast infections and can be treated with a topical antifungal cream. The best prevention, washing your belly button thoroughly with a washcloth and soap each time you shower, then drying it well. Our next article from the wellness section is titled, Fitness, Stretch Away Stress. A head-to-toe stretch can do wonders for your mood and muscles. Take 10 minutes to breathe deeply and create space in your body with these Pilates moves, by Katherine Ross Nash. Pilates is known for strengthening and toning, but many of those exercises will also give you a good stretch. You'll bend and twist and reach for your toes while sculpting lean muscle. In fact, research has shown that people who do Pilates just 3 times a week have increased hamstring flexibility, which is especially important to avoid injury from walking or running. Better flexibility can reduce your risk of injury in general by relieving stiff muscles, thereby allowing you to move with more control. But today, we're all about the ways in which stretching can lower your stress levels. Not only is physical activity a proven stress reliever and mood booster, but deep belly breaths, which you'll take while performing the moves of these pages, trigger physiological responses that have a calming effect. You may reap cognitive benefits too. Exercises that involve crossing your midline signal communication between the two sides of your brain. This spurs the development of new neural pathways that support emotional resilience, as well as critical thinking and problem solving. Inversions supercharge your brain and can also help boost circulation, aid digestion, and ease your mind. The best part is that these moves from Prevention's new book, Wall Pilates 101, require virtually no equipment, just an exercise mat and a sturdy wall. That means in just a few minutes, you can stretch your way to a better physical and mental place, whether you're at home, in an office, or on the go. Roll down with arm circle. Setup. Stand with your back leaning against the wall, heels together, and about 6 inches from the wall. Your feet should be one hand width apart. Soften your knees, lengthening your spine, and place your arms by your side. Step 1. Inhale deeply and lift your arms overhead, palms facing forward. Step 2. Exhale, squeezing all the air out of your lungs as you lower your arms to the side and fold forward from the waist, tucking your chin into your chest. Step 3. Inhale, lift your arms forward and roll your torso up the wall from your waist. Bring your arms overhead as the back of your head returns to touch the wall. Step 4. Repeat, reversing the movement so you start bent over and you lift your arms to the sides as you roll up. Cat and cow with straight knees. Setup. Stand with your hands against the wall at shoulder height. Walk your feet back until your torso is flat like a tabletop. Keep your legs hip width apart. Step 1. Inhale and press your hands to the wall, legs straight but not locked. Step 2. Roll your shoulders to your ears and circle them back down to lift your head. As your head lifts, exhale and arch your entire spine, lifting your chest forward. Step 3. Inhale and return to tabletop position. Step 4. Exhale and round forward, arching your spine like a scared cat, tucking your chin to your chest. Step 5. Inhale and return to tabletop position. Side bend. Setup. Stand with your left side to the wall, arms at your sides, and feet slightly past hip width apart. Step 1. Lift your right arm up and bend to the left to reach the wall. While reaching, bring your left palm to the wall. Step 2. Reverse the action and lift your palm off the wall as you return to an upright position. Step 3. Repeat on the other side. Spine twist. Setup. Sit with the right side of your body next to the wall, your left knee bent up, and your right leg straight. Step 1. Reach your arms forward with palms touching, keeping them at shoulder height. Your right shoulder should be touching the wall. Step 2. Inhale and open your left arm to the side while turning your head to the left. Exhale and twist your torso to the left. Reach your hands away from each other to increase the stretch. Step 3. Inhale and return to center with your palms touching. Step 4. Repeat on the other side. Single leg stretch. Set up. Lie on a mat and place your feet flat on the wall, hip width apart, knees bent 90 degrees. Place your arms down by your sides. Keep your back long and flat on the mat. Step 1. Inhale fully. Then exhale and tip your tailbone up to lift your pelvis off the mat. Step 2. Inhale fully, then exhale while bringing your right knee into your chest. Hold your right shin with your hands and press your leg towards your chest for 3 seconds. Step 3. Inhale and return your right foot to the wall. Lower your tailbone down to the mat. Step 4. Repeat with your left leg. Get the book. For dozens more meditative stretches to help you take on whatever life throws your way, check out Wall Pilates 101, $27 at prevention.com/wallpilates. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the July 2024 edition of Prevention Magazine. I'm Emily. So long until next time.